Hi, I'm Alec.
I'm Eric.
We're the Betchy Brothers.
And this is StoryTap, where we try to tap the potential of an idea by turning it into a story.
This episode, Elysios, a YA dystopian sci-fi story. Oh, are we recording?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm like at least 70% sure.
Yeah, looks that way.
Ah, so I had an idea.
Gasp.
Do you have any ideas?
No, I don't have any ideas.
Okay.
No thoughts, head empty.
My only idea is you said a couple days ago, you mentioned how the sort of YA dystopia genre has been going away.
So it sounds like I had an idea, is what I'm hearing.
Who's this you? But it occurred to me that it kind of is the case, but I made the argument that it's going to be this sort of cyclical thing. It's going to go and come back in waves.
All right. I can see that.
And so we're going to come up with the most YA cookie cutter lame movie ever.
Okay. I feel like every time we say this is going to be bad, it's not bad. Like, I don't think... One, I think part of the point is nobody makes something bad on purpose.
Yeah, that's pretty true.
Except for some people, and then they're marketing to people who want to watch bad stuff.
Even like, Sniper Island was good.
What?
I think it was one of the last, it might have been the last episode of Story Break by Freddie and Matt and Will over at Rocket Jump, who we give shout outs to all the time.
Uh-huh.
We really don't, but we should.
Why don't they notice us?
I think it was their last episode where they just, I think it was Freddie came to him. To the guys, and it was like, we're going to make something called Sniper Island. And they were like, okay, what is it? And he was like, no, my part is done. It's Sniper Island. It's an island full of snipers. And what is the shape of the island but a sniper rifle?
That's fun.
And even that turned out, like, listening to the episode, I was like, that was pretty solid. It turned out to be like a training simulation something or other, and for like rich kids. Anyway.
That's pretty fun.
It was really good.
Okay, so, YA dystopia.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think that part of what we should have to do is if we can't be bad, we should at least be random. So I got a penny.
Nice.
And we will pick several arbitrary A B concepts and let a coin flip decide how this works. Okay, so I think the first one, dystopian future or setting or secret world within the world.
Oh, dope.
Heads for dystopian future.
All How right, about that? Go for it.
Tails.
It's tails, so...
secret hidden world within the world.
Right, okay.
Okay, so,
Why are they hiding? Is it a supernatural thing? Like werewolves? Oh, okay, a mythos thing? So fantasy or sci-fi, basically?
Okay, so...
Fantasy is heads.
Fantasy is heads? Okay. Yeah. It's tails, so
Ooh,
sci-fi.
Hidden world sci-fi. Okay, so aliens, I suppose?
Let's say aliens or something else. Give ourselves some wiggle room.
Okay, aliens as heads.
Aliens are super-powered humans.
Okay.
Okay, so
aliens as heads.
Aliens as heads. It's tails. Have we got
three
tails in a row?
Oh my gosh. What are the odds of that? 1 in 125. 1 in 125? No.
No, it's like 1 in 8.
I was thinking,
it's one, you majored in, you have a statistics minor.
I was thinking 50-50, and then I zeroed in on the 5, so I was thinking it was 1 in 5. My bad.
I don't know if y'all know this, but the Petchies can't do math at all. It's the one thing we can't do.
It's 1 in 8. Okay. Where did I get 5?
Oh, I've been pretty happy with this, because I like superpowered humans better than aliens. I don't know why.
What was that one book? I accidentally call it Something Wicked This Way Comes, just because I read that book around the same time I read this book. It was the one with the glove that when you point it, it shoots like a BB.
Oh.
And that turned out to be a training glove for the more dangerous glove that melted stuff.
I think it's The Other Side. It's like, It wasn't a super popular book, but it was fun. Everybody in town was an alien.
Yeah.
Or not everybody in town, but like this whole group of kids in this town, they found out their parents were actually aliens, and they'd been raised there, and their parents had just found out that the mothership was coming.
Yeah. I thought that book was really cool and really fun, because it was not, like, super realistic and gritty.
The Dark Side of Nowhere.
The Dark Side of Nowhere. It wasn't, like, super gritty in that it was like, yo, these guys say the F word, and look, this kid gets, like, his head chopped off. Because, like, that's just dark. That's not, like, realistic. That's, like, basically, when people say, like, oh, it's so grown up and mature, they either mean it's good and deals with very, you know, mature themes, or they mean it's just gross. Like, unnecessarily dark. That was surprisingly mature, considering, like, the cover art, like, how long the book was itself. When I picked it up, I was like, this might be a cool, kind of fun read. And then it was surprisingly mature. And I was like, this is pretty cool. They're not shying away from some, like, serious themes here for, like, a YA book. This is dope. I read this when I was in, like, sixth grade, anyway.
Yeah, I read that book, too. I was, like, I don't know. I don't remember. I think I was a little older than you when I read it. So you read it a year or two after me.
Yeah, but I really dug it. And then suddenly it was just, like, I'm different. And that's okay. And I was like, what are we doing? No, let's get back into it. Let's explore this a little more. And it was like, no, the end. Like, what? No! This was so weird. I feel like it really fizzled out at the end.
That's fair. It did. It's kind of a cliffhanger ending, because, like, the kids all transform into their real alien forms. And then, like, this one kid, the protagonist, just, like, goes forward to the government. And we kind of get a cliffhanger. It's like, alright, so is the advanced alien civilization that's gonna show up?
Yeah.
Just gonna obliterate you?
It was, like, one third of a good book.
Yeah.
Basically. I really, really, really don't like...
Three short books would have been really good with that, I think.
Yeah, that would have been awesome.
All right, cool.
So let's do something like that.
Wait, with our coin flips, we've got superpowers.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
It's you want to do secret aliens some other time, we can do secret aliens some
other
time.
No, I don't mean specifically secret aliens. I mean, let's not just be like, it's okay to be different. Like, let's straight up, like, talk about, hey, if you are different... It's gonna suck.
Right, yeah.
It's not something that is objectively bad, but here are a couple of examples of how people might treat you.
Okay. So, okay, I like this. I feel like we're making this up on the fly. There is no system here. You know, if you've been listening.
Mm.
I'm an agent of chaos. okay, so... Oh, and I am flipping a coin, huh?
Oh.
Unbiased, unprejudiced, fair. I can hear the music. Okay, so cool. I think that we should do, like, the other side of this. All of these books tend to be metaphors for something, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah. Puberty, usually.
Puberty. I think Twilight is actually, a lot of it is, like, growing up in, there's, like, a bunch of religious metaphors and, like, growing up in the Mormon church or something. I heard that Hunger Games was in part inspired by growing up as a military brat. So these are, like, informed by experience.
Just hit the floor. I really don't like unpacking symbolism if I don't enjoy the text itself. But, like, looking at that, I'm like, it makes sense. Go ahead.
Okay.
Sorry.
But I think that we've got this world setting. I think that it would benefit us and sort of speak to what we're trying to do if we just did the same thing with... the personal elements.
Okay.
So, how about you? How about you drive these distinctions a little more? What are some dichotomies of personal elements?
I want it to be pretty open ended, so that it's not just a one for one metaphor. Like, you know, like your bar mitzvah's coming up, and people might like give you a harsh time about, like, you are this religion or something like that. Maybe, okay, I'm just going to spitball a couple of ideas. Like, your parents, being in the minority when it comes to religion, oh, that's just Twilight, whatever. Another one, like, being either neurodivergent or having some sort of, like, emotional something or other, what I'm getting at is, like, anger management. And a third one would maybe just be... like being the the child of someone famous, that might be a little too narrow.
Yeah, all right. So let's be, like, between neurodivergence versus being part of, like, a societal outgroup.
Okay.
And I mean, neurodivergence is a... So, like, disability and neurological status or condition, I'm not sure what the word is there, but... And rooted in, like, in disability versus being part of a religious or ethnic minority. How about that? Okay, so...
I know which one I'm rooting for.
Okay.
But we'll have to go with whatever...
Fair... Yeah.
With whatever the coin says, the almighty coin.
Heads for religion and ethnicity.
No.
What?
Reverse that.
Tails for religion and ethnicity? Okay. It's tails.
No! Dang it. I was hoping for neurodivergent or whatever because the line from whatever song by Kanye, bipolar is my superpower. And I was going to be like, yo. Anyway.
Ain't no disability. But I'm a superhero.
Exactly. But we must go the way of the coin.
Dang. This is our religion now.
Because I was... Okay, let me just say, I want credit for coming up with the idea first. Like... Something like the way media portrays just like rage, not as like a bad thing. It's like something that we all have, and it's like given the right circumstances, you can give into it, and it is rage is equal to power. But someone with anger management knows that is definitely not the case. Is what I was going to get at. So like, there's one person who has something that everybody else sees as, oh, violence is cool up top, bro. And like, anyway,
I actually really. Like that. That's like, I write some of this stuff down. Some of these we should return to later.
Regardless. What was it? Religious or ethnic minority?
Yes. So I actually think that leads naturally into something. What is like the personal conflict with that?
Raisin in the Kryptonian red sun.
That's
No. Do not give that any credence. Okay.
But that's. Interesting. Anyway, okay. Stop saying compelling things. Like racism on Krypton. That sounds fascinating.
Oh.
But, okay, here's what I think. With our protagonist, how about we flip a coin? For the question of what they're in conflict, I'm thinking the natural ones to pick for are like genuine problems with belief or something to do with like gender and sexuality.
Okay. You choose which one's which.
Okay. Heads for gender and sexuality?
Sure.
It's gender and sexuality. Finally broke the tail streak. Okay. I feel like we got one more in us.
Sheesh.
I don't know. What? Love triangle? Or I feel like we can pit a love triangle against something.
Ooh, there's going to be a love triangle no matter what. It's a YA sort of thing.
Fair enough.
So, let's decide just some world-building nonsense to flip the coin on. Trouble in Paradise, or, you know, us versus the world. So, is it the giver, utopia on the outside, but we gotta... Like, something is actually wrong, or is it, like, more like Hunger Games, where it's, like, the system is against us and everything stinks where we're at?
Right. But since we're going with Hidden World, we're not actually talking about a dystopia either way, right? I mean, society...
Right, no, yes. Yeah, okay, we can make either one work.
Yeah, both of those can work. Both of those can still work. It's just, like, everything... Yeah. We've lived in peace with mankind, with regular humans for however long, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, so, heads for... Which one for Trouble in Paradise?
Heads for Trouble in Paradise.
Okay.
Because the cover of The Giver was his head.
We got tails.
Which one was that?
Like rebelling against the
system. Right,
like
right. The system is against us.
Okay,
bro,
the system is against us.
I am hating this right now. I'm coming up with ideas, and I'm like, gosh, I hope it's the one that I just had an idea for, and it never is.
Okay, so what did all of that come up to? I mean, this did, like... We get to flesh things out more because this did half of our choices for us.
Oh, that's true.
It's just that it's actually harder now.
Okay.
So we have people with some sort of super ability living amongst regular humans in like a, if not modern society, a realistic society.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of religion based, something to do with gender and sexuality, and sort of the personal conflict there that drives all of this. And in a system that's really kind of characterized by unfairness.
Okay.
Like, so this is like, I think that the idea here can be, this is like, this is an oppressed group. Like, it's not, if we, like, say, if it was witches, and it's not because we're leaning more sci-fi oriented, it would be like, witches have been oppressed by mankind for centuries.
Okay.
What do you think?
And it has to, okay, when you say gender and sexuality, is the character like grappling with something about that?
I think that, yeah, I think that the obvious one is like, you know, queer character and the gang is not down with that. I think that there's more than just that. I think it can be like, we've got established gender norms in this society and like, I want to do something else.
I see.
Which is also, you know, really common. In YA literature.
Okay.
And movies, which also exist, but they're all based on YA books.
Okay. Dang, dude, I don't know how to make it good. I don't know, and by that I mean I don't know how to make it non-preachy. Because I just watched one of the newest episodes of Young Justice, which is like a masterclass in preachy. Goodness. Oh my gosh, now I'm thinking about it. Well, right. We said it wasn't going to be good. All right. How about, Salem Witch Trials. And this is a joke. Salem Witch Trials. Yeah, you're a witch, so we got to watch out for each other. What? You're also a lesbian? I'm going to rat you out to the guy from The Crucible. I don't know. I never watched The Crucible.
You did.
Oh, I did see The Crucible. I saw like the second half. I think I rolled up late.
Oh.
To Julia's performance.
Yeah.
Did I see the whole thing? I didn't understand a thing that was going on.
It was because it was high schoolers performing The Crucible.
Okay. How do we do this? Your magic comes from
we your said hormones? Sci-fi. What?
Did we?
We said sci-fi, yeah.
We did?
I mentioned witches just a minute ago.
No. Sci-fi. Yeah, I thought we said fantasy or sci-fi.
Yeah, we said fantasy or sci-fi, and it came up sci-fi.
I thought it came up fantasy because we weren't allowed to do aliens.
No, it was humans with superpowers or aliens.
Oh, okay. No, sci-fi vibes. But not necessarily, you know, from other planet. No. I got you. My bad. Okay. Hidden world, sci-fi vibes. Ooh. That is a new combination, because Hidden World has always been fantasy.
Yeah, it usually is. I'm actually kind of, which is why I was kind of actually really happy with that.
Mm. Okay. Maybe, because I was predicating things on like, you've been chosen as a magic goo, but that was, I'm mistaken. No magic goo. So, gosh. Shall we go with, instead of, here we go, the system is rigged against, I was going to say us as in the protagonist, but that might be the sort of inversion that's what makes us a little different. It's Candide. The main character is one of the upper class, the hidden secret peoples are not the oppressed and minority group. They are, our main character is a privileged kind of person, which is basically Trouble in Paradise. No, because we'll do a dual narrative kind of thing. Two protagonists, Brandon Sanderson style. I'm pointing at the Brandon Sanderson books up there on my bookshelf.
That's where he keeps them.
We have not necessarily half the, I was already assuming it was a book, not necessarily half the text, whatever it might be. Should it just maybe be a book?
Yeah.
We haven't done a book before, and this could really take any format.
Yeah, so, it's a book intended to be made into a movie.
Yes, exactly.
It's a novelization written before the movie comes out.
We're splitting the narrative in two. We have one main character who we'll call Joe, spelled J-O-E.
I don't know, I was expecting you to say a weird way to spell.
That's because Joe is a human living on Earth, and everything is normal for him. And then we have, like, you know, what's a totally normal name? Like John Jones or Megan. Give me a normal name that has room for an X in there or something. You know, too many vowels, like a glottal stop. like Alexander, but it's like A-A-L-I.
The E.
X-Z.
The E is a Y.
Exactly.
It's like A-L-Y-X-Z-A-N-D.
Ooh, but his weird youth
E
pastor,
with a line through it, R.
But his youth pastor says it's cool if he can call him Xander. So we've got Joe and Xander, short for Alexander. I hate myself.
Yeah.
So we've got Joe and we've got Xander. Joe, and the beginning of the book is very much, Joe just went to school. Joe just did normal things. And then suddenly it was like, Xander just went to laser school. Xander just went, did normal kid stuff. And then he's like, pulls a Candide, but more like a Jasmine running away from the palace deal, where he, like, you know, puts on a hood and then goes down, and he's like, I want to see what it's like for everybody else. And then he, you know, falls in love with Joe. Okay, so now it's a comic book.
Yeah.
Because, like, nobody's down with the gays except comics for some reason.
For some reason.
I don't know what that's about.
I don't know. Since the 90s, they've just been, like, everyone, I mean, they didn't have any money to lose, so they were just like, fuck it, we'll be progressive.
So, we've got our protagonists, and I'm thinking, okay, now what this has become is the first sort of, I mean, not quite the inciting incident, but the real thing that kicks off the theme is that someone from this upper class, so much to the point that it's like hidden society money.
Okay, right.
That's what it's kind of a metaphor for. Classism, pretty much. We've got the person,
like this group of people who have it in their head, in the idea in their heads is that, like, that we're so important and powerful, we are better than them, when actually they just have better stuff.
Yeah, they have some technology that they're like
that,
they're doing what is that, not Killmonger, T'Challa's dad, T'Chaka, I think, was his dad. His dad or his uncle? I think it was his dad.
I forget.
I think it was T'Chaka. Is like, we can't share it with the world because it's too dangerous, is basically like the elitist super secret society mentality.
Right.
So Xander, having fallen in love with this earthling, normal, middle-class gay boy, they're like, let's do gay stuff. But Xander gets it in his head, like, we can all share it. And then that's only, like, the first third, where a, like, 100 to 120 page book would end is like, and Xander, you know, spread out the tech and it was all good. That's only like the first third of our movie, because
right.
It would hit the fan.
Yeah.
If you try, one, tried to do that, two, actually did pull something like that off.
All right. I think, like, the obvious and kind of clunky response is, like, you know, the council of, I don't know, powerful elders or the tyrant or whatever that's in charge of stuff are like, no, they cannot have this. They're inferior to us. And it's, the response should be, we've tried to share this before. We have tried. And, like, I don't know, we can have an arbitrary point in time when societies split and it was like in, I don't know,
Da Vinci.
It's like, Da Vinci. I don't know. I feel
just
like
pick a name
through
that kids
it's
can recognize.
Like in,
and
it's like in Egypt, 5,000 years ago, when we first started trying this, and over the centuries, we have developed technology that is millennia ahead.
Precisely. And now,
and
rather
now,
than
and
go
like
through,
you know, at some point we can say, like, we recruited always only recruiting the best minds once in a generation.
Precisely.
To join us.
So we've got Xander and Joe.
Uh-huh.
There should be some sort of antagonistic force that will keep nebulous until like halfway through the movie, book, comic, whatever. Halfway through, it's given not necessarily a face or a name, but like, actually, I don't know what I'm saying. Exactly that, a face or a name. You know, President Snow, ooh, the bad guy. Uh-huh. And Twilight, whatever that was. Basically, there's like the council that's like, no, this is how things are, this is how they should stay. And alternatively, there should be a mentor figure of sorts that is like, Xander, Joe, I love what y'all got going on, go for it. Okay, I made him sound a little metro there, my bad. Look at me.
Right, it sounded like a queer Morgan Freeman. Which
you go, girl. Yeah. So, okay. But the mentor figure...
next week for queer Morgan Freeman.
Basically, the mentor figure should be, what is, like, hegemonically brainwashed. So he's like, yeah, let's do this. And then when it actually starts hitting the fan, he wants to, you know, be like, well, let's do the harder stuff tomorrow. Today, let's just make sure nobody's mad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then the overall theme will actually be changes, like, actually hard.
Right.
Okay. Don't know what that was. Okay, we're almost 30 minutes in. So what is this sort of first incident that gives Xander an inkling that, oh, maybe those normal Earthlings are not quite as happy and well off as we suspect? Like, it needs to be straight up out of Candide, like disease and sadness.
Yeah, like, like the Buddha. You know, the Buddha. It's the same exact story. It's like they see, poverty, sickness, and death.
That's it.
Yeah.
I thought that was Candide.
Both are true.
Okay.
Like it's ripped off. Like only six people had read Eastern religious texts at that point, and Voltaire or whoever it is who wrote that was like, take a mat, that's good.
Ooh, cherry picking.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Poverty,
sickness, and death. Cool. Right. Very cool. Oh, I gotta love that. Poverty, sickness, and death.
And I mean, but this is like the idea that's like, we have this perfect society, we should be sharing this with these people. Like, obviously they can suffer. I think that there are two routes we can take here. Either Xander gets hurt in some meaningful way, and, like, for one thing, he has to go back to get medical attention, but for another thing, he sees for the first time that, like, there's suffering in this world. Like, this is something that cannot happen, or that is, like, it's like a paper cut. Like, he gets hit by a car, he breaks his leg falling out of a tree or something.
I'm sorry. It's like a paper cut. He gets hit by a car. I was like,
no, I mean, it's like a paper cut.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Getting hit by a car is like a paper cut. Yeah. He's good.
Yeah, but I mean, like, just experiencing the pain of that when, I don't know, they have, like, devices to dampen that experience and fix you up rapidly in his civilization.
I've got it.
What?
You remember Elysium with Matt Damon, I think it was?
It was Matt Damon. Yeah.
Yeah, Matt Damon and Elysium. That's what it is. Invisible belt around the Earth, and they're like, oh, look at those poor things down there. Oh my gosh, it's that episode of Rick and Morty with the battery inside of the car, the micro-universe. They're like, yeah, little do they know, they are powering us and to save them. And so there's this really weird sort of moral, not
right.
moral.
Slavery with extra steps.
Yeah, philosophical budgeting going on. They're like, no, you see, it's like trickle-down economics meets slavery.
It's whoa. Trickle-up slavery.
I don't know exactly. But the point is, they're looking down, and the average everyday going on Earth is basically powering Elysium, and they're taking, like, let's go with an 80-20. They're taking 80% of the power to send back 20% down to Earth, Earth is only getting 20%. And they're like, they don't know any better, so they're happy, we're happy. Utilitarianism, it's lit. Rather than wanting to go down and wanting to make things better, Xander is just chilling up there, and he's like, I want to be an explorer, or something like that. Or maybe he's reading about Taoism. And he goes down to Earth's surface, where, like, his parents, and I think the parents are going to play a pretty big role in this, his parents straight up put together something like, he thinks he's exploring, he thinks he's, like, breaking new ground and stuff, and they're like, no, what we really put together, like a planned charter and everything, like, ship's on autopilot, he'll think he's flying, it's all good. He goes down, and, like, he does something that's, like, an explorer would improvise right here. He does indeed improvise, and, like, lands. And he's like, I must be hyper careful. The atmosphere here is, like, super harsh. And if I get a paper cut, it could get infected and I might die. He's, like, reading up on old med school books.
Right.
And what happens is, like, he, I don't know, falls down and breaks his leg and has a panic attack. And then our boy Joe comes through and, like, takes care of him and basically heals him. And then he sees, that is him seeing Joe covered in, you know, scabs and scars and stuff, and he's like, but he's alive, who is this warrior? And Joe is like, bro, I'm like 15% body fat and weigh 100 pounds. I don't know why I whipped out those numbers. That's not very representative of anything.
No, that's, how tall is this kid?
I don't know. It's how, like, tall Joe is. Okay,
Joe is like 5 feet in those proportions, and I'm just kind of guessing here.
we gotta move on. We have 3 minutes to come up with like one or two more points.
Okay. I think that this is okay, so I really like this. Xander's parents are being like, oh no, he got hurt.
Yeah.
Joe, I think that there's, like, this actually works kind of well, is that Joe is like, and are we still kind of in a normal Earth? Like, they're not aware. This is more or less America, like, the world that we know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, he crashed in the bando.
Yeah. So, Joe is, like, a street kid.
Yeah.
Which is, like, actually kind of useful, and he's a troubled gay teenager who lives on the street.
Oof.
I mean, he's already, like, we've already established that he's a gay teenager, so it's like, yeah, all right, street kid. Because that kind of explains to me why they don't go to the hospital. And he's just like, all right, so this is some weird performing artist kid in his dumb space clothes. And he's like, Xander flips and he's like, I'm freaking out. And then I passed out. And then he's just, like, kind of taking care of him in a shed with stuff that he's lifted off of pharmacy shelves.
So he, like, puts his broken leg in a splint and he's freaking out. He's like, I am definitely going to die. And Joe is like, bro, cool it, I'll call the hospital. And he's like, you have hospitals? He's like, yes, what? And then basically it's everything they have down there, we have up there. On Elysios or whatever. Boom, title.
Rip off.
Yeah. We have whatever they have here on Earth, we have on Elysios. Ours is just cleaner and better. No poverty, almost no sickness at all. And, you know, death and the theme can come back around somewhere else.
Right.
And so
He basically
gives him a walkie-talkie. What I'm getting at is they need some way of communicating after Joe goes off. He's like, yeah, we have hospitals, you psycho. You think we're like this? And he's like, ah, perspective changed. Inciting incident imminent. And then Joe goes off. Xander is chilling. And he's like, you know what? I'm beginning to think that. Ah! And then his parents or some search party rescue team comes and snatches him back up.
I think that to set up further conflict, I think what they can do is they can send like a synthesized soldier.
Ooh.
I like that. I love, like, the idea of synthetic robots.
Cool. Sure.
Yeah.
All right.
So that, he's like, He does that, and he talks funny or whatever, and he's like, I'm here to bring you home. Come with me if you want to live.
I'm a Navy Coast Guardsman. I'm here to save you. Rescue you. Wait. I got that so wrong. Whatever. The Guardian. Reference.
Right. All right.
And we should take a break. We should take a commercial break, and when we come back, we will come up with half a movie.
Half a movie.
A little over half a movie.
I can deal with that.
Sounds good.
Cool. I also feel like, I also see this as like long-term stuff. There's like space for five movies here. None of them good.
Very true. All right.
Don't let me do this again. Don't let me do the coin flipping again.
We'll be right back. Let's get going.
Yeah, we're back.
We're back. Elysios is the name.
Because it's like Elysium, and we like it, and I don't know, our heart's not in this one. We're gonna keep rolling.
Elysios, if you are so inclined. So, I guess we will just spitball plot points by talking about hegemonic negotiations, which, if you don't know, that's basically like when some social movement or there's some injustice going on, and then they're, you know, governing, not the governing, but
the dominant ideology.
Yes, thank you. The dominant ideology, yes, offers the people demanding justice something besides justice.
Yeah.
But, you know, something fun. The perfect example that Kate likes to point out is casual Fridays at work. It's like, hey, can we have, you know, reasonable working conditions? Oh, how about a pizza party? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, like that.
So,
it's like, you know, can we, can gay people have rights? It's like they can be oppressed the same way as everybody else. And yeah. We'll ask your pronouns before we make you work yourself to death.
This is good. Okay, so there we go. There's our first plot point of hegemonic negotiations. The council of hegemony up on Elysios is like, yo, Xander, that was not cool. You went off and blah, 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 blah. And then Xander is losing it. He's like, they have it terrible down there. And we have enough to share because it's fiction. And like we can literally quantify that and prove beyond a doubt that... Like, it would be easy, basically, because it's a movie or whatever.
Yeah.
And, we have enough to share. And they're like, okay, uh-oh, looks like we gotta throw Joe a pizza party. And then they have Joe up on Elysios for, like, one day. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay.
And they kiss.
They kiss.
Because they're gay.
Like, okay, so they've got, like, the flying carpet moments. I can show you the world.
Exactly.
Except it's, like, backwards. It's like, you know, show. So the way that I was going to say this is, like, he showed you his world. He showed him his world. That just sounds like euphemism.
Oh, gosh. Not in my backyard. I don't know what that means.
It actually basically just thing? Means we're not, what?
Is that the swimming thing?
No, it's like, NIMBYism is like a documented phenomenon. It's like people want, you know, all those like $2 million houses with signs that say like, in this house we believe love is love and science is real and everything.
Oh, yeah.
That's like, they also all like make sure zoning laws prevent affordable housing being built from being built anywhere near them. NIMBYism, huh. Not in my backyard.
Oh.
This, like, I'd love that, but not in my backyard. Do you want to put up a clinic to help homeless people? Yes, but not in my backyard.
I see. Okay, I thought it was like a... under the context I heard it in, it was basically like, yeah, gay people should have rights until I become involved in any way. You know what I mean?
Pretty much, yeah.
Like, it's basically like, I love it in theory, but I hate it in practice.
Actually, yeah, that is sort of the idea. Huh. So $2 million houses with signs that are in support of all these things. Yeah, because so they don't have to look at them.
So that's what Elysios is, basically.
Yeah.
Awesome. Uh-huh. So...
I actually kind of like the idea of an organization trying to, like, vaguely, of, you know, a world-controlling organization trying to keep all of their stuff for themselves through, like, vague bureaucracy and hand-waving and saying it's like they're not ready.
Like America.
Like, yep.
Hegemonic negotiations, not in my backyard. There's something there.
There is, yeah. And it's like, okay, so I actually kind of like this. It's like we love this gay kid that you brought up here, Xander.
Yes.
We are going to be better, and we are also going to recruit our own gay kids.
Even less than that. Invite him up for a literal pizza party. Yeah. They invite him up, and they're like, hey, do you want some of the rich food? Basically like a trip to the White House.
Right.
Hey, do you want, nice
food?
And a city
kid wins spelling bee. They take him into the mayor's office.
And then he starts stuffing his pockets with the medicine and stuff. And he's like, yeah, I know, like, my cousin needs this. My mom could use this. And some of this I can just, like, flip for a profit. And that would be nice, too. And they're like, oh, you don't need to, like, take it here. Have a goodie bag. And he's like, this is dope. And Xander is furious about it. And he's like, no, we need real change. And we need this and that. And so that's our first sort of series of... That's our first sequence. And I'm thinking the second sequence is they start making waves, not necessarily progress, but they do start making waves and people start noticing the message and all of that. And then they offer them something better, but it's just a bigger negotiation. And that one, Xander thinks they should take and stop making waves. But Joe is like, no, we got to go all the way since we started this. You know what I mean?
Actually, yeah.
Big fight they have.
Yeah. I think we would pitch it this way, but I think over time it would actually be pitched as multiple books or movies or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think that having somebody to sort of showcase the flip side of this is that, like, if you have people oppressed long enough and then they sort of understand the degree to which they're oppressed, the backlash inevitably has a violent element.
Ooh,
like, geez. There's like that you have, like, once the veil has sort of been lifted and human being, I feel like that's the end of this story, is that they reveal Alesios to that is Joe and Xander reveal Alesios to the general population of Earth.
Okay, yeah, I'm digging it. Okay, yeah. So this can be like a multi... I'm thinking three movies, basically.
Yeah, and it's like, and then I feel like moving forward from that, it's like we are going to censure you, and they're like, you're not going to send us to prison. And they're like, what's prison? And it's like, sweet, utopias are awesome.
Okay, I'm digging it. So we have our heading. Here we go. Did you get that reference?
Yeah, it was Peter Pan.
Nice. And Captain Hook. Jack Sparrow. Jack Sparrow says, we have our heading. And then Peter Pan says, here we go.
Oh, that's right. It was like for that one of those Disney streaming services.
Yes.
Or whatever, which we tried 19 times. How... Isn't it weird how, for a long time, everybody still wanted you to own files, and then Spotify recognized, like, you can stream stuff. You can stream stuff, and we can charge you a monthly fee, and artists are going to be screwed, but we're going to get so rich.
I don't know what really changed. I think it was that it was in-browser. Yeah.
Spotify legitimized music streaming.
Yeah, that is true.
Mm-hmm.
Because Netflix, yeah. It was, renting DVDs, that's where it's at.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was still renting, and as opposed to streaming is different. And
probably
then
watch a lot more movies.
And people were like, still like that. Some people were like, yeah, renting is where it's at, but some people were like, owning is where it's at. And now, it's like 100% streaming.
Yep.
And I don't know what really changed.
It's
because
just the economics of it.
I guess. It's that Disney tried. Like, the big distribution, I think, companies really tried to make streaming happen, you know, not HBO Go, HBO Now. They had like three different platforms. They just kept rebranding and trying again. What happened? What changed to make Disney Plus like the big thing? Why did Netflix work? And my guess is that you didn't need to, like, download the Netflix app.
Exactly. Like, I mean, you did have to download. I mean, that's true.
I think it was that you could log into Netflix if you had access to the internet.
This is like all, this whole episode has become about economics and like analysis of class struggle.
Well, yeah, how else are we going to keep the little guy down?
But you know, when iTunes came out, you had to spend 99 cents per to song. Buy a song. Do you know how many times you have to listen to a song on Spotify for it to make equate 99, to yeah, for it to equate to 99 cents? And I think honestly, the answer is not that many. But you know, Spotify monthly, if you listen to what is a Spotify subscription cost? Like $16? Still $20?
It's a banana. How much could it cost? Yes.
I don't remember how much things cost, all right?
Yo, I checked out at Whole Foods and I must have goofed because I got like a dozen bananas and it was like 98 cents. And they were organic and it was Whole Foods. But I might do it again. Hey, it's not on me. I put them on the scale and I typed in bananas. They were like, okay, you're good. And I was like, okay. Very
cool. So,
I just confessed to a crime.
Bananas and economics of media consumption aside.
I think they should offer Joe, like, citizenship. Like, hey, you can come up to Elysium. Elysios, excuse me. You can come up to Elysios and, you know, and your family can visit sometimes. You can only have one visitor per time, at a time, though. And Xander, being Joe's boyfriend, is like, yo, that's where it's at. I love you, so you should take that. You know what I mean? Yeah.
And then they fight.
Yeah.
And he's like, actually, okay, you know what? I think I actually kind of like this. And he says, like, no, screw you. That's not good enough. We said we were going to fix this, not fix it for us.
Exactly.
And so he says, like, no, piss off. I'm going back to Earth. And then, in an act of retaliation, and I kind of like that this is, that it's petty personal motivation that is what pushes, it's like petty personal gay motivation pushes Xander to like grok with the stuff. What am I, an Adventure Time character?
Oh my gosh.
Just like mess with the cloaking devices and broadcast to Earth and reveal the existence of Elysios.
Yeah, word. Holy moly. Which
leads nicely into sequel territory.
Yeah. All right. So, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
I'm down to talk more about economics and stuff.
Okay, cool. And then, like, I feel like there are more versions of this. Is that, like, Joe, in the second book, Joe is putting together his, he has some leftover technology and he's going to go up there and save his boyfriend. And some people are kind of abusing the leftover technology. They're like, there have been secret overlords controlling humanity for decades, or at least like mooching off of us. So yeah, we're going to murder the crap out of them.
They could just straight up like rebel by stop making power. Yeah. Since we made the Rick and Morty world building bit earlier.
Yeah.
Like they're like, return to monkey. Let's just, you know, build fires, live in caves, and just chill, and then we'll starve them out.
Yeah, I mean, have you ever
That's the beginning of movie two, though.
Yeah.
What did you say? What
were you gonna say? I mean, have you ever known us to agree on anything? I still think that there's potential for, like, cool insurgent elements. People, like, I don't know, a dude has gutted a synth, and he uses it. It's leftovers for armor.
Boom.
That's dark.
Spooky.
But also, you'll never get to hear about that, so imagine it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk about this again, like, one time randomly a year and a half from now.
Yeah, we're just basically proven we can make a pretty kick-ass YA movie. This would probably have to be a book first, but, like, knowing how books are written, I could probably scrounge the money together to pay somebody to make a pretty killer version of this book.
Yeah.
And then use that to just be like, hey, Hollywood guys, look what I made. And then the author would be like, excuse me? And I'd be like, shut up, I made this. Look what I did.
I mean, you're a book producer or something. Your name is second Your name is first, story and by. Then that second person's name is smaller.
Hey, wait, yeah, right over there. S, story by J.J. Abrams, written by who? Who, Alec? Who wrote S? Exactly. I can't see it. Some guy. J.J. Abrams got his name on it because it was a story was by him.
Fair enough.
J.J. Abrams didn't do jack on that book.
He was busy writing The Force Awakens or whatever.
Exactly. You know why? You know why his name is on that book? Because he paid for it, and it was his idea, and he was like, I want someone else to do the work. Because I have a really awesome idea, but it can only be a book.
That's what you really want. Take credit for a book.
That's the job I want to have, bro.
Take credit for a book that you made somebody else write money.
You know what really bothers me? Is basically, that is my dream job. To be like, this is awesome. I want the credit, and I want the profits, but I don't really want to do the work. So instead, I'll take the monetary risk. I'll put in the money, and basically, rather than it just being, like, me profiting off of someone else's work, it's, hey, I'm going to, you know, make the bet. Like, basically, you do put in the work. You put in more work than me, but I'm at the more, like, risky position.
You get paid either way.
Yes, exactly.
Right, yeah.
That's what I want. And for most things, that's like an executive producer or producer title. But across mediums, the title producer changes drastically. That's like in music, it's like, it's already really nebulous, but it's usually like the person in the room who's like making it happen, like booking things, hiring freelancers versus the talent itself, deciding who gets what credit and all that. Video games, it's literally just cutting and deciding what features get in the game. And then movies, also very nebulous, but it's usually monetary,
yeah, the monetary involvement
version. And actually, it's a lot like music. But the thing is, like, a producer of a book, like, that's pretty much just, you know, hey, I have an idea for a book, but I don't want to write.
Yeah.
So I guess what I'm saying is I want to be a producer.
No, that does work with... I mean, that is how some things work with publishing houses. They're like, hey, we need a book in this area. You have a history in that. Like, we'll give you this advance for it. And also, like, those authors who are at that level get paid pretty well, and they still tend to get royalties because publishing houses already make more money off of books than their authors do.
Yeah. So... The end?
The end.
Nice.
Nice.
I'm sorry. Thanks for listening to this episode of StoryTap. If you enjoyed, make sure to leave a review on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. And follow us on Twitter @StoryTapPodcast. It helps a ton. And thanks again.